Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Last call!
Not so fast, bartender. I think I'll have one more.
Time for one more round of sports talk.
That's what I'm talking about! Sports!
It's Last Call with Joe George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Another!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joe George.
Welcome in to the Last Call here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George here with you until 7 o'clock, talking all things Astros, Texans, and tonight we'll talk a little Rockets because some news around Kevin Durant that we will get to later on in the show today. We'll take a look at the NFL as a whole as the season really gets rolling here, basically. We've got our second preseason game going on, Shedeur Sanders making his NFL debut for the Cleveland Browns this weekend. So we got a lot to get to on the show today. Obviously, the Astros are also ready to play the New York Yankees this weekend. So talk about that series. Our favorite Astros-Yankees moment, I got one that stands out, and you're welcome into the show. It's 713-780-3776, plus on YouTube and on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. So normally, it's going to be me and AJ or me. And Ryan. Ryan is behind the glass. What's up, dude? How you doing?
Doing pretty well. Not much else to say right now.
Not much to say. That's all right. Ryan's going to be hanging out with us here a lot of times on Friday night, so we'll be here with you guys talking all things Houston sports. All right, let's start off with what's going on this weekend. Astros-Yankees. Look, this is a series that I think we all kind of look forward to a little bit, especially as the Houston Astros are in New York. That game starts here in just a couple minutes on Apple TV, which is still, I think, one of the worst things that baseball does. They've done a lot of things better. Talked about this last night with AJ, how the ratings are better. Things are slowly improving for Major League Baseball. I still despise that they put all these games on Apple TV. It could be worse. This is a first world problem, I guess. Today I discovered that even purchasing NFL Sunday Ticket, even though it's pricey, doesn't give you access to all the preseason games. That's dumb. Why did I pay for it today? I don't know, but I did. So let's talk about this series coming up this weekend. Tonight, Hunter Brown on the mound for the Houston Astros. This series is important for a bunch of reasons. One, the Mariners are obviously hot on your trail. They're only a game and a half back in the standings right now in the West. But also, just when you look at these standings overall and what this season could or could not be for the Astros, the Yankees are part of the picture here because they're only a game and a half up on the Cleveland Guardians right now. You could, in theory, this weekend, put the Yankees on the outside looking in for the playoffs, especially because the Guardians are playing the Chicago White Sox, a team that's not very good, that you were hoping was going to defeat the Mariners a couple times. That obviously didn't happen. So the Yankees, very realistically, could be out of the playoffs by the time Sunday rolls around if the Astros do their part in this. So that's number one. If you can force the Yankees to miss the playoffs and you're a huge part of it, that's just a fun story because we all hate the Yankees. It doesn't matter who you are unless you're from New York or you're one of those weird, you know, Duke, Laker, Cowboy, Yankees fans that are the worst sports fans on planet Earth, then everyone would just kind of laugh at the idea of the Yankees missing the playoffs this year. The Astros can be a huge part of that. But also, from the worst case scenario here a little bit, let's say at some point this season, the Mariners do catch you, and they do pass you in the West. If you win 2 out of 3 this weekend, or you were to sweep the New York Yankees, all you're doing is also creating distance between yourself potentially and the bottom of the wild card spot. So you're also able to give yourself a little bit of cushion just in case the Mariners catch you in the West this year. So you provide yourself some cushion. You could push them out of the playoffs. And frankly, again, it's just a good thing to beat the New York Yankees. Like, we like to see Jose Altuve hitting home runs in Yankee Stadium. And that's hopefully what we're going to see again this weekend. Before, honestly, I think Monday is, even though the Yankees series is this weekend, I'm just more excited about Monday's game. That's all I can really think about. Alex Bregman returns to Houston for the first time. There's going to be a nice video tribute. It's going to be really cool. But Carlos Correa is going to be standing at third base for the Houston Astros. It's still kind of surreal. Like the deadline is officially, what, 8 days ago? At this point, Carlos Correa has been back on the Astros. It's still surreal to see the Astros tweeting out lineups, and he's a part of it. It's just, I never thought Verlander was going to come back in that way. Never thought Correa would come back in that way. And now, I said this yesterday too, if any player signs somewhere that leaves the Astros and they put a no-trade clause in their contract, I'm just going to assume they're going to play for the Astros again. So, like, if Alex Bregman signs with the Boston Red Sox this offseason a long-term contract and puts a no-trade clause, I'm just assuming at some point Alex Bregman will be traded back to the Astros. That's just kind of how I'm going to kind of view it at this point going forward. Because it's happened twice, and it's totally illogical that it happened both times. Now, Hunter Brown in this one, he's obviously a top – he's not going to win the Cy Young this year. Frankly, what's in front of you makes that really challenging with Skubal. But it's the perfect guy to have on the mound this weekend. And honestly, just when you look at this series overall, it is important to win. Having Hunter Brown go tonight, having Framber Valdez go tomorrow, and then Colton Gordon going on Sunday, that's the only one where there's the matchup favors the Yankees. You have Max Fried going on Sunday versus Gordon. That's obviously going to be the most challenging one to win. So if you expect to win this series, and I think we should all be expecting the Astros to win the series this weekend against the New York Yankees, you got to win the first two games and then hope for your best on Sunday. And Framber Valdez, who's been a little shaky, I think is a fair way to describe it. In his last two starts, his last one, he gives up 7 hits, 5 earned runs. His last start before that was obviously very good, but you had the whole thing of wasn't a fan of how the defense was aligned in the outfield and spoke about it after the game and was obviously very frustrated because he only gave up 1 earned run. So last week, the start last Sunday versus the Red Sox is hopefully the albatross in what he's been doing recently, because his 3 starts before that, Framber was dominant. So you want a good start from Hunter Brown tonight, and then just a big rebound start from Framber Valdez on Saturday, I think is very, very important for this team. All right, thinking back to what has happened in the past, I was thinking today, like, of all the things I've seen in sports, I have my favorite sports memory, specifically since I've moved here to Houston, 10 years ago now at this point. I've been lucky enough in my life to be at a lot of cool moments in sports, whether it's teams I grew up rooting for and seeing them in the playoffs or and having some success. But Ryan, let's play here. This is my number one favorite sports moment I've ever been to live, and it involves the Astros and the Yankees. So that's my number one. 2019, the walk-off home run that sends the Astros to the World Series. Obviously, it's become infamous in a way because of the Aroldis Chapman GIF, whatever, however you want to say it, that we see all the time. That smile that he kind of has on his face, which is so funny to see. But I was there. I was actually there for my other job. I got tickets from Lids when I was working there. So I was there as a fan, didn't have to work it. That's probably why it's number one. Like, I was there when the Astros won the World Series. That was really cool, obviously, being able to go in the clubhouse and things like that. But that one specifically because I was there as a fan and was, you know, enjoying myself that night. To see that walk-off was such an awesome moment. It was so good, Ryan.
Honestly,
living in Houston my entire life, I didn't really grow up as an Astros fan.
Okay.
But, you know, for the longest time, and I'm sure you know it, following baseball for as long as you have, the Astros were not good. Man, they were a joke franchise for a while. So just to get that validation of them going to the World Series was worth everything.
Yeah, I mean, you think about like what that team had gone through, and look, this is obviously after the Astros won the World Series in 2017. It's before all the cheating stuff comes out also, which is a little ironic, like when you think back to it again, which has come up again, you know, all the stuff with the Red Sox that's happening. Obviously, the Yankees were doing it. I was watching a clip from Paul that he put out about the sign stealing stuff and got a chuckle out the idea of, well, they should just do it again because they're better at it. Frankly, like, you never know like what's happening in sports right now, because it does feel like sign stealing has made its way back in. But one thing that hasn't gone away is just the Astros dominance. The other thing that I'm hopeful for in this series, that not just separating yourself from the Yankees if you were to fall out of the top of the West or pushing them out of the playoffs. The other thing I bought about this series and taking two out of three, if you don't also pass the Detroit Tigers as the number two seed in the American League this year, it also does kind of put you in real prime position, a series victory, to solidify that the New York Yankees could be the team that comes to Houston for a three-game series. And it's been so much fun to year after year after year watch the Houston Astros defeat the New York Yankees in the playoffs, that it potentially happening again in 2025 would just be awesome to see this team do that. All right, we'll take a break here when we get back. Yesterday we were doing the show. Actually, no, we'll talk Rockets next. Let's talk Rockets, because Tim McMahon was on Brian Windhorst's podcast. He had really interesting comments about Kevin Durant and his contract status. We also found out that the Rockets will be front and center to the world this NBA season on both opening night and Christmas. We'll get into all of that next year on Last Call on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
This is Last Call with Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joe George.
Well, it didn't take long. Jose Altuve has homered in the top of the first inning. The Astros lead 2-0 against the New York Yankees. All right, let's talk about... I didn't think that with this first week of the show, as we started doing it here, that we would have any Rockets segments put into place. But you never know what's going to happen. And today we'll start here. Shams Charania all of a sudden today starts tweeting out, kind of the splashy dates of what's coming up at the deadline, or what's coming up this season. And the first one he tweets out, Christmas Day, 2025. The Cleveland Cavaliers at the New York Knicks. The San Antonio Spurs at the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Mavericks at the Warriors. The Timberwolves at the Nuggets. And the Houston Rockets taking on the Los Angeles Lakers. So Kevin Durant versus LeBron James on Christmas Day. And then he quickly followed that up with the opening night of the season. And the Rockets will be, presumably, the first game of the 2025-2026 season, as they will take on the Oklahoma City Thunder on the night in which the Thunder get their rings, they raise their banner. The Houston Rockets will be there. Kevin Durant will return to OKC, which is, I like that. I like that is happening, that's the decision that they would make there. To have KD, a player who meant so much to that franchise at one point, who took them to the finals for the first time as the Thunder, now has to go back and watch them raise their banner this offseason. I mean, this first game of the season. I think it's great. I'm all in on this. And plus, it's just nice to see that the Rockets are on the spotlight again this season. It's just nice to have the Rockets like the forefront of what's happening in the NBA. And look, this won't be the end. Like, The Rockets are going to be on primetime television a lot this year. First of all, you deserve it based on what the Rockets did last year, even though obviously the playoffs were not the result that everyone wanted them to be. But also just the fact that you've added a superstar player in Kevin Durant, it's going to make you must-watch television. We're going to see the Rockets take on the Nuggets on primetime, I bet you, this year. So Kevin Durant versus Nikola Jokic. We'll see maybe another Oklahoma City game in primetime this year, and maybe even another Lakers game. You're going to see them play. I don't know what the best of the East is this year. I guess it's the New York Knicks. I feel like they're the best team in the Eastern Conference going into the season, on paper at least, but you have the Milwaukee Bucks, who still at this point in time have Giannis. You could see that happen. Like, they're going to be just like forefront of the NBA this season, which is awesome because they deserve it. So think back to where the Rockets were before Ime Udoka got here to where they are now. The expectations are high, even though the Thunder are loaded and they have so much talent and they brought everybody back pretty much this offseason. The Rockets are a legit contender to win the Western Conference this year and to win an NBA championship with Kevin Durant on the roster. I've thought that since the moment they've thought that they made that deal. And part of me was even at his age was like, oh yeah, they're going to have Kevin Durant for a couple years. Like, there's a small window in which Kevin Durant's on this roster. His game should age pretty gracefully with what he does. I mean, we've seen it. Like, the jump shot hasn't gotten any better. I mean, any worse. It's still awesome. But will he be a Rocket for long term? I thought it was going to be an easy yes. But Tim McMahon was on Brian Windhorst's podcast today. And here's what Tim McMahon had to say about the future of Kevin Durant and a contract with the Houston Rockets.
The Rockets aren't going to go all in, by all appearances and by what I've heard. They're not going all in on an extension for Kevin Durant. Now, doesn't mean it won't happen. But, you know, there have been rumblings of, hey, KD doesn't, you know, he's not going to push for the full max. I don't know that the Rockets are going to put anything on the table that's close to the max. I think the Rockets are, like, it's not ideal, but I don't think they would panic if they go into the season with Kevin Durant just on the contract that he's on, just on the expiring.
Look, it's interesting for a couple of reasons. Like, first of all, Rafael Stone has done a marvelous job managing the cap so far. A lot of teams in the NBA, when they have a player that they've drafted in the lottery, they're just paying these guys. No matter what the consequences, they're just giving them the contract that they can max out at as their rookie deal expires. LaMelo Ball, a great example of this. The Hornets now have a player in which he barely plays. He's not great when he's out there. And they're probably stuck with what they can do with LaMelo Ball going forward. When Rafael Stone said, I'm not doing that with Jalen Green. We're going to pay you, but we're going to give you a reasonable contract that you can is fair to your value and is also tradable. Did the same thing with Alperen Şengün, paid him less than what he would have gotten from a lot of other teams in the league, and now the same thing with Jabari Smith Jr. So three young players, this approach has worked really well. They've all signed it. They're all happy. One of them's not here anymore. He's in Phoenix. But with KD, you would think, are they going to be able to continue this and get players to play for less? And it's important for a couple of reasons. First of all, with Kevin Durant, is he going to be happy? Like, he's unhappy every single place he goes after, like, the first year. So is he going to be upset in year two, year three, year four of being a Houston Rocket? The betting money has to be on yes, because he's upset everywhere he goes. It has not been a smooth transition to any team he's been on. It was good for a little bit in Golden State. It was good for a little bit in Brooklyn. It was good for a little bit in Phoenix. And then it always seems to end poorly. So are you concerned about that? Number one. Number two, we've also seen what happened this offseason to where all these teams can't do anything. You have players like Josh Giddey and who's the guy from the Warriors that I'm thinking of? Oh, Jonathan Kuminga, who, yeah, they're not great players, but in past years in free agency, they would get ridiculous contracts. Well, now that can't happen because now with this first and second apron, it limits these teams to such an extreme to what they can bring in, what they can send out, and everything they can do in free agency and in trades that we're seeing teams be put in a really tough spot. So if the Rockets want to avoid those things, then the logical decision would be, well, maybe we won't give Kevin Durant all the money that he thinks he deserves or that he probably does deserve, that he could get on the open market. It also makes a little bit sense that while there's all these nice billboards that are throughout Houston, and the first day they went up, they nearly caused me to get into an accident. It wasn't my fault. The people in front of me were clearly slowing down to take pictures. There also hasn't been an introductory press conference for Kevin Durant, which is strange. Like, it's not – the press conferences don't mean everything, right? Like, you shouldn't take everything a new coach says and what it means, or even if Kevin Durant was up there and he said, this is the last place I'm going to play basketball. Like, you don't have to believe it. But the fact that Kevin Durant, the trade, is like months old at this point, and he has not been in Houston in front of a microphone at Toyota Center is strange. Why? Well, maybe it's because he doesn't have a new contract yet. So I think this is really interesting. And the other part is that last thing that Tim McMahon said, that while it's not ideal, he said he didn't think the Rockets would stress, basically, about the idea of not having KD on their roster or have him extended at the start of the season. That, to me, is also really interesting because I think, again, it goes back to the second apron stuff, to where even if Kevin Durant hit free agency next year, what could he really get on the open market when there are so few teams with cap space, when there are so few teams that want to be in the second apron? I mean, we saw what the Boston Celtics did this year. Without Jason Tatum, they're unloading part of their roster. They unloaded Jrue Holiday. They unloaded Kristaps Porzingis. The Indiana Pacers, because Tyrese Halliburton is out for the year, they let Miles Turner walk to the Milwaukee Bucks, basically their number one rival right now. Those teams do not like each other. It's all because of this apron stuff that they have basically turned the NBA into a hard cap. I think Rafael Stone is basically betting that, like, either Kevin Durant's going to sign with us now or he's going to sign with us later because he's not going to get the money he wants on the open market.
If I had to, the only other team that I can think of that would even want KD at this point, right, would be someone like Miami.
Yes. Which, like, they were obviously the other team that was rumored to want Kevin Durant. They didn't want to, I think it was like they didn't want to include, like, Andrew Wiggins in it, which is strange to me. Like, why? I think it might be more of a realization of they know where their roster is at. So like, Kevin Durant would have suitors in this offseason, for sure. It's just, I think Rafael Stone is looking at the mark, is looking at the state of the NBA and basically just saying, we don't have to pay top dollar value for this guy because that's just not the reality of what the league is anymore. And you talk about risk assessment of like what a player can be. We talked yesterday a lot about Cam Smith. There's no risk with Cam Smith paying him 8 years, $110 million. That's a $14 million a year contract. You can easily get rid of that. But look what's happened with the Philadelphia 76ers. They are a team that is screwed. Like, there's no other way to put it. Joel Embiid is hurt. He's going to be hurt again. He makes a ton of money. They reportedly didn't want to pay him until the owner stepped in and said, get it done. That's one of the worst contracts in the NBA. The worst contract in the NBA is probably his teammate in Paul George.
Yep.
Like, they have hamstrung themselves, and they really can't get out of it because of all these new rules that have been put into place. So I think it's really interesting that Rafael Stone is not just saying yes to all these guys, and here's the money that you want. Now, the only negative, Ryan, that I think of all of this is if there were to be a point, and maybe for a younger player, you throw this out the window a little bit. But I do wonder if in free agency, let's say Kevin Durant were to leave after, let's say 2 years. Let's say you just sign him for a little bit longer. And let's say a big-time player became a free agent. Would they be nervous about signing with the Houston Rockets? Because the Rockets, to me, while they've been smart with these deals, I also think it would be to say they don't pay top dollar at this point.
I think that it depends on how they kind of play like the PR of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can definitely go the route where they're like, well, KD's getting older. He's probably difficult to offload because he calls the shots at where he wants to go since he's looking at places where he might want to retire. So it is a lot more difficult to get rid of an aging player on that level of contract instead of getting like a younger player who is more easily replaceable, if that makes sense.
No, I got you. I think, and honestly, in all of this, all this being said with the Houston Rockets and Kevin Durant, I do feel like that they eventually get something done, just kind of a gut feeling that, like, wow, I think it was clearly the right move to move on from Jalen Green. And I think that if there were other players that were on the table, like if Giannis actually would have been on the table, if there were, you know, obviously Jokic wouldn't have been on the move or anything like that. But if there were other guys that could have been moved, Jalen Green could have been a part of a lot of those deals. But you did move that asset for Kevin Durant. So I do think ultimately the Rockets and Kevin Durant get something done. But I think for that to get done, I think Rafael Stone is going to stand his ground and continue to be one of the more impressive general managers in the NBA with contracts. And maybe the most impressive, honestly, with the way he's handled all these moves so far, that if he can get Kevin Durant to stay here for, let's say, three seasons at a market value that's lesser than what he could have gotten from teams that are a little bit more reckless, I think that would be a huge home run, honestly, for the Rockets. I also just can't wait for basketball this season to get here. It's been a while since I've said that. It's been a while, but like this is the first time where the Western Conference is so good this year. Like I think kind of like how we're seeing baseball have its moment a little bit, where we're seeing, you know, a real improvement in ratings. I kind of feel like the NBA is going to be heading that same direction, where we're seeing players for the most part stay put. Kevin Durant's really the only big name that moved this offseason. Luka trade happened, obviously, in season last year.
He did sign a big deal, though.
He did sign a big deal. And I think it's like 3 years, $190 million. It's
something insane.
And then his next contract can be worth $487 million. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yep.
I think it breaks down to like $84 million a year is what that max contract can be.
Imagine being able to make $600 million in 7 years.
You can't even win that in the lottery right now, Ryan. You can't even go to the gas station. The Powerball was like $4.85 the last time I saw. Like you could win the lottery tomorrow and still not make as much as Luka's going to make in 7 years. Now we do live in Texas. He lives in California, so maybe that helps out a little bit. But like, my gosh, these contracts are crazy. I mean, crazy in the NBA.
700 mil down to 450. I'm still taking that contract.
for sure. All right. He is Ryan Morrow. Ryan, do you have Twitter? I don't know these things. I didn't forget to ask you
no,
before the
no
show.
No Twitter. I'll make one, though.
All right. We'll get Ryan on Twitter, so that way he can give us his thoughts on what's going on in Houston sports. Ryan will be hanging out with us most times on Fridays going forward as we start this show. Remember, it's going to be Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays here, and then tonight coming up after this show, we will have our Astros podcast, myself and Jeremy Branham, Inside the Icebox, will be coming up next. But in this next segment here, it's been a wild 24 hours. We were doing this show yesterday. We were talking about the impact of losing C.J. Gardner-Johnson, what it means for the season, for the secondary, why I thought the Texans could be fine without him, and then all of a sudden, he might play week one. So let's get to that next here on Last Call on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Last Call with Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joe George.
All right, so yesterday, we had the news that C.J. Gardner-Johnson was carted off at practice, which obviously is concerning. When you hear D'Amico Ryan's talk, he's obviously a little somber, I think is a nice way to put it. You could hear the concern in his voice about what was happening with his player. But he did say at the time, like, they didn't know the severity of it. We had then later that night, it started to get even more confusing, where there was massively conflicting reports. First, a local report that was then stolen and incorrect, that C.J. Gardner-Johnson was for sure out for the season. That was then retracted or deleted. Our own Will Kunkel tweeted that it was not a guarantee that C.J. Gardner-Johnson would miss the entire season. And then Adam Schefter jumps in today out of nowhere that it's not even out of the question that C.J. Gardner-Johnson can play week one. Like, it has been a dramatic turn of events for him. And I said yesterday, like, I think this is something the Texans could have withstood, because of your coach and the talent you have on this roster. But this is what Schefter tweeted. He said, further testing revealed that Texans safety CJ Gardner-Johnson's knee injury isn't as serious as it could have been, and it's not out of the question that he could be back as the regular season opener versus the Rams. Okay. Like, didn't expect that one, because obviously when you hear carted off, again, you hear D'Amico Ryan speak, you get these conflicting reports, but like, it's still, even the ones that were not that he's going to be out for the season, but he was going to be out for an undetermined amount of time, doesn't sound like week one, which is about a month away at this point, is ever in play. And now all of a sudden, in theory, it could be in play. Now, do I think we should be expecting to see CJ Gardner-Johnson week one? No. No, that's not what we're saying here. But if things go right, like, you never know. Like we could see CJ out there week one going against maybe Matt Stafford in week one. It might not even be that quarterback. We'll see.
I mean, the only thing that I can think of that could have happened is that either the doctor was informing the agent and whoever else is in charge of this information that it could be an ACL tear, but didn't go fully into the options of how severe it really is, or
yeah,
or someone was just making up information.
It's bad sourcing does happen. You know, I'm not going to beat up on, you know, them too much, but like, mistakes do happen, but clearly someone had wrong information, and it's not going to be the agent. The agent is not going to be the one that has wrong information about their client. So it's probably someone internally within the Houston Texans that is leaking out bad information about what CJ Gardner-Johnson's, the severity of his injury was. And it's just, overall, the bigger story about this, while it's funny that it was reported incorrectly, that then the flagship tweeted it out with it out double checking themselves clearly, and having to delete their own posts. Like, while that is kind of funny, the bigger story here is that CJ Gardner-Johnson is just not out for the season. And
thank God.
I think realistically could be back. Like, if week one's in play, I think it's fair to expect C.J. Gardner-Johnson to be back within the first quarter of this season. So by week four, week five, like, that feels very much in play now, and that never could have been said yesterday based on what we knew and what it felt like was going on.
I think a reasonable timetable is probably week four, fully back into the lineup, but probably see him back in week three.
Yeah, like, I think, and then we're just guessing here. Like, we don't have sources or anything like that. We're just guessing. But like, at the fact that Schefter's willing to say that week one's even on the table, like, it is, it's all positive, and it just, like, you need it. Now, this is not as severe as the first time he was arrested, but we did also find out last night that Jimmy Ward was arrested today. He was released this morning. The reasoning was that he violated his probation because he had alcohol in his system, which was against what was allowed to happen. So the Texans no commented on it, on the story. His agent spoke to a couple reporters about it. Look, I don't factor in Jimmy Ward for this season. I think it's impossible to, when you do think about this Texans team, just because the NFL process is a lot different than it used to be, to where he could play this year and not get in trouble until next year. We see that with Jordan Addison, who's missing the first three games of this season for something that happened last year. Like, those suspensions and punishments do trickle down a little bit slower these days, which is, I think, wise for the NFL to not jump to conclusions. And do a thorough job. But even if he was out there, like, I don't factor him into, like, what the Texans are going to be in a major way this season. Yes, it's a chess piece that, you know, D'Amico Ryans does not potentially have at his disposal. But C.J. Gardner-Johnson playing at some point this season and early in the season potentially now is way more important to the Texans roster than Jimmy Ward. I mean, it's honestly, it's not even close. Like, Jalen Petrie, Kalen Bullock, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, what they have in their secondary, along with obviously guys like Derek Stingley Jr. and Kamari Lassiter, it's clear to me, like, they have one of the best secondary units in the NFL. But the key part of that's going to be staying healthy. And they're on the path for that now. So it's all good stuff. I do think the injury and the Jimmy Ward situation does, it's hard for us to like be like, I'm excited to watch safeties in preseason football. But I do think that now when you think about the Texans and the preseason games, like the positions that to me are now the most intriguing are obviously offensive line, how those guys play. Like, what does Blake Fisher look like after basically being removed from the rotation? What does your secondary look like? Because I think even at the cornerback spot, there is like a there is a depth concern for me about who fills that third role.
I mean, yeah, because they went out and drafted a guy like Jalen Smith from USC. And then they also got Jalen Reed from Penn State to play safety. I guess looking at those two throughout the preseason is going to be see if they can fit in and keep up with what we expect from the Texans DBs.
Yeah, because even if like they're out there for a game or a half, like you have to have good play. I mean, D'Amico Ryans can, again, he can fix a lot of the problems you have. So I think going into the first preseason game now, it's the offensive line, the secondary pieces, specifically the safeties, just again because you don't know the reality of C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Jimmy Ward when they will or if they will contribute to the Houston Texans this year. Obviously, one, again, as we've been talking about here, more likely than the other. But then also, I think the other one for me is definitely is the running back room. Like, you have Joe Mixon who's hurt. We don't have a clear timeline about when Joe Mixon will be able to return to the Houston Texans. Nick Chubb has missed a couple practices after taking hard contact to the head. So you've got Damian Pierce, you've got Woody Marks, you've got Ogumba Wale. Like, what does that room look like? Those are probably the areas that are of most interest to me in terms of depth and also just like your everyday importance for the Texans.
Do we know if the Vikings are going to be putting out their starters week?
It's not clear. I haven't seen what the Vikings are officially. Honestly, I'm not even sure right now. Like, I've been so busy, I don't even know what the Texans are doing.
Because if they do, a big one that I'm going to look at is Ariante versus someone like
Grenard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I wish players played more. You know, I know there's the negative where I think they said Anthony Richardson can actually might even return to practice on Saturday. So tomorrow for the Indianapolis Colts. But obviously, he got hurt in his first game. My counter against that, as we talked about it yesterday, was Ryan. Well, like, well, Cam Robinson's already gotten hurt. Nick Chubb has already gotten hurt. Joe Mixon's been hurt. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson got hurt. So, like, you're risking injury, whether it's in practice or on the field. Mm-hmm. My guess is we won't see many starters this preseason for the Texans. I do think that's a mistake, even though, you know, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase were beating up on backups versus the Philadelphia Eagles. I think that approach is better. I just think when you have new coaches, new system, it's just better to play. Even if it's for a quarter and three full possessions, I would like to see more of it. So it's we'll wait and see. I mean, if I was the Vikings, I'd play J.J. McCarthy a little bit. Like, get him some real reps because he opens up on Monday Night Football. Like, he's going to have major pressure on him the first game of the season. I mean, it is going to be the lead topic of First Take on Tuesday. I guarantee you, whatever happens in that game, if J.J. McCarthy is better than Caleb Williams, it's going to be the lead story. If Caleb Williams is awesome, it's going to be the lead story. If J.J. McCarthy struggles, it's going to be, should they have kept Sam Darnold? So, like, there's a lot of pressure on him. So, I'd like to see him play because also I'm just generally curious about the Minnesota Vikings this year, like how good they can really be, how great of an offensive coach Kevin O'Connell really, really is. It feels like he's in that elite category. But that's also a team that, again, is going to be missing Jordan Addison for three games, and Justin Jefferson hasn't really been practicing either. So I could see the Vikings kind of going in either direction throughout all of preseason. But I want to see the Texans play.
I think the Texans kind of have to, even if it is risking injury, just because the fact that they're playing the Rams and the Buccaneers weeks 1 and 2, they have to get them as hot as possible.
Yeah, it's about yes, you want to protect your players, but it's about starting the season right. And we have seen across the NFL, the offensive play is putrid the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Now it is so behind. Most reports out of camps are largely negative. Like, unless your defense is bad, if your defense is better than your offense, we don't hear positive things. I'm not trying to defend the two teams that I care about the most here, but like, there's really nothing positive coming out about CJ Stroud and the Texans offense, and there's nothing positive coming out of the Bears and Caleb Williams. Those are the two teams I care about the most. And like, when there are good things, like there was in Chicago for them today against the Dolphins, it's like awesome. But it's also because the Texans defense is incredible and the Bears defense should be pretty good this year. So like, I want to see what they look like against other teams, because I feel like you can't get a real picture of your problems when you're playing a defense that is as elite as this one. Shedeur Sanders just threw his first touchdown in a preseason game. Congrats to him. I think he's going to win the job.
I think he has to win the job.
All these injuries do help. I mean, they have five quarterbacks on their roster right now, and because three of them are hurt. Because Kenny Pickett's hurt, Dylan Gabriel's hurt.
This is going to be a little bit of a hot take,
okay, but
I think that if he doesn't win the job, it'll be worse than if Anthony Richardson loses his job.
Yeah, that's interesting. As long, I think if he loses it to, if Shador loses it to Flacco, it's okay. It's okay.
I think he can't lose it long term though. Like he can lose it for this year.
Yeah.
But if Flacco's the starter going into next year, there's a problem.
Well, I mean, I think it's still super unclear, honestly, even if they even wanted him, to be honest with you. All right, we'll take a quick break here, and then when we get back, we will get into just kind of a big picture look at the NFL, where they stand. We're going to take a look at a power ranking, where we think it's the most going to be the most correct and the most wrong when we get back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's Last Call on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joe George.
All right, just about 5 minutes in the show here, so we'll be kind of rapid fire here in this final segment. We pulled up a power ranking list because I was just curious where teams kind of stood in the eyes of some. And I picked this one out. Eric Edholm, who I really like as a writer, put out his power rankings. So Ryan and I are tasked with this. Pick one team in these power rankings that you think is going to fall the most and one team you think is going to rise the most. Ryan, I will let you, dealer's choice, go first.
All right. So the first team that I think is going to fall is going to be the Washington Commanders, who they have ranked at number 6.
Okay. I like that. I think that's a good pick because they could be really good this year, but also we see quarterbacks struggle in their second year. And like, if they fail, it would not be shocking if they don't make the playoffs this year. I don't think it should be shocking. We also saw Jaden Daniels last year get hit a little bit, break a rib, and really struggled even when he was healthy to really get back on track. Then by the end of the season, he was awesome.
I don't think that they're going to fall out of the top 10. I just think that with the increase in their strength of schedule and then on top of their defense, me personally not really trusting it, I think that they'll lose a couple of those closer games that they had from last year, and then maybe still finish the season like 10-7.
All right, I'll do my team that I think is going to rise the most, and then Ryan, you can do yours. I'm going to go down to number 22 on this list, the New England Patriots. Mike Vrabel, Drake May, they've invested on this team in quite a few spots, but I think the Patriots are going to be a lot better than they were last year. That, to me, is going to end up being a team that's going to be fighting for a playoff spot, that's going to be competitive in the AFC this year. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs, but I think they are going to take a big step just because of who their coach is, honestly, from Drake May's first year, now having Josh McDaniels with them. So I think the Patriots are going to rise quite a bit for me by the end of the season. Ryan, what's yours?
Okay, so you kind of saved me from having to commit a cardinal sin.
Okay.
I was going to choose the Cowboys, but for now, I am actually going to go with the Houston Texans at number 14.
Okay.
I think that we're a lot better than what this power ranking is giving us, especially since it has us behind teams like the Chargers and Broncos. And don't get me wrong, I love the Broncos' defense. Their offense leaves a lot to be desired. And I just think we're better teams than those two. I think that our offense should look a lot better than it did, a lot more versatile than it did from last season, especially how, you know, the whole we didn't adapt in the second half.
Yeah,
in the second halves of every game, especially that Lions game, which still lives in infamy with me. So, yeah, if I had to choose any of the teams, that would be it.
All right, so then I'll wrap up here. The team that I think is going to fall the most in these power rankings that I'm looking at. While I think the future is bright for them, and while I think they could be very good this year, maybe it's just because the coach is the one that's saying he knows what it's like to be around a Super Bowl team and a Super Bowl contender. I don't view that way with the Denver Broncos this year. I think they're going to be, they could be good, but like, they're the 11th team in this power ranking. Are they going to continue that? And I might be a hater, Ryan, but like, I also just can't fully get on board with Bo Nix and what that's potentially going to be. I just got to see it one more time. Like, even more than Jaden Daniels and potentially what J.J. McCarthy could be. Like, I want to see, like, if Bo Nix is really who he was at the end of last season, because they have a great defense, but they got questions at running back, I think a wide receiver. So I think I'll pick the Broncos for mine. All right. That will do it for this episode of Last Call. Thank you guys for listening in this week, our debut week, doing Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 6 to 7. We'll be back with you on Monday. Coming up next, more of me, but with Jeremy Branham as well, inside the icebox here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Summer's brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.